What's up, football fans? This is Danny Kelly. You are listening to Deep Balls, the NFL Picks podcast. I'm joined every week by Jackson Bevins, also a Field Goals. We break down the week's slate of games. We try and give you some analysis for why we're making our picks, and basically we're going to try and help you win your office pool. Jackson, how are you doing this weekend, or this week, I should say?
Doing great, man. Feeling good. I just got some feel a little bit better about more games this week, I think, than last week.
Yeah, last week was a bit of a weird one. There were a lot of, I would say, like pick 'em style games. But nonetheless, Jackson and I both did pretty well. Jackson went 10-5, and we only had, as you may remember, we only had one game difference in our picks, and he picked the Steelers to go to beat the Ravens. And that was a Thursday night game, and we watched that together, and it was kind of a weird one.
Yeah, Josh Scobie, man.
I kind of screwed you.
You just needed to make one of those two kicks or, have Vic hit a wide open 3 yard out either way.
So Jackson went 10-5. He now sits at 40-23 straight up on the year. As you know, we do straight up picks. We don't break down every game against the spread, but at the end we will talk about a few games against the spread because as Jackson says, you don't really like to. He doesn't really like to do all those games. That's a fool's errand. So pick a few games whose spread you like, and kind of work from there. But for us, we're really just trying to help you win your office pool. He's now 40-23, as I said, straight up on the year. It's the 89th percentile worldwide. I improved to 38-25 with an 11-win week last week. I am now in the 74th percentile, working my way back up after a disastrous week two. But yeah, so let's just get right into this. As Jackson said, some of these games are a little more straightforward, but the Thursday night game is definitely kind of an interesting one because of the quarterback situation in Indianapolis. Who is going to play? Both Matt Hasselbeck and Andrew Luck are questionable officially. What was your pick here, Jackson? And more importantly, do you think that Andrew Luck will start?
He's saying that he's going to. I know he's officially questionable. I have no idea. And for a while, as I was thinking about this game, because this was a pick 'em pretty much all day until a couple hours ago, and it shifted 1 point in favor of the Texans. I had been planning on thinking, well, if Luck plays, I'll pick the Colts. And I started to think, well, there's a very good chance he won't play. Very good chance that their capable backup won't play either. And even with Luck, they haven't been very good. And so I, for me, I think that Houston probably wins by a couple of scores if Luck can't go, especially if Hasselbeck can't go either. But they might beat the Colts with Luck anyway. It's a short week. I don't like picking road teams on Thursday games. So, without extenuating circumstances. So anyhow, I did take the Texans on this one. I think they'll win regardless of whether Andrew Luck plays.
All right. I like it. Starting off again with a difference of opinion, I picked the Colts with the assumption in mind that Andrew Luck will play. I think they're starting to kind of get things back together. They were able to beat the Jaguars last week with Matt Hasselbeck starting. I think that probably was kind of a big emotional, shift for them. And I think that Houston is reeling. I think that they got their asses kicked last week by the Falcons, and it just doesn't seem like they can do anything on defense at this point. And that was kind of the big thing of their whole, that was like the identity of their whole team. So that's why I went with Indianapolis. I'm not feeling very strong about it. As you know, kind of Thursday games are weird.
I hate picking Thursday games.
And as you said, Houston's always, or home teams are always kind of have an advantage on Thursday games. So, but yeah, this is going to be an interesting one for sure, just because of the, yeah, the early start, the quarterback situation. Both teams are not as good as they were supposed to be potentially this year. And so, to me, this was like, yeah, essentially a pick 'em. Moving down the line, we got the Sunday slate of games. The first one on the list here is Jacksonville at Tampa Bay, a battle of the Titans. Right now, the home team, Tampa Bay, is favored by 3, meaning it's essentially throw like a pick 'em for Vegas. Who do you have in this game and why?
I have Tampa Bay. I think these teams are fairly similar. I think that they've got big semi-mobile quarterbacks who have some weapons around them, like some legit NFL caliber weapons. They play spotty defense, really spotty O-line play. But I think both teams are capable enough to, score enough to win. And a game like this, one of my mantras when picking games is to not overthink games between bad teams. So barring, like I mentioned earlier, extenuating circumstances, there's two bad teams. I take the home team on principle, and that's what I did this week. It's not a matchup breakdown that I think pushes it more in favor of the Buccaneers. And even though it's not a long travel for Jacksonville to go to Tampa Bay, home field advantage does matter a great deal in the NFL. And two teams that are more or less equal, in my opinion, I'm going with Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I went with Tampa Bay also. Obviously, James Winston turns the ball over a lot. He had four picks last week. But he also threw the ball a lot. 43 attempts, trying to come back against Carolina. And it felt like he kind of found a connection with Vincent Jackson a little bit. Maybe that will help. Maybe that will take some pressure off of Mike Evans in their offense and kind of they'd have a little more balance. So at this point, I just don't have any confidence in the Jaguars. I think, I was just kind of watching Twitter, the Jaguars Twitter kind of meltdown after they lost to Hasselbeck and the Colts, and I think that was kind of like a low point for them over the last couple of years. So I don't know if that necessarily extends to the team, but it just kind of feels like they're reeling as well, kind of like Houston. They're just like looking for answers and not finding it in any place. And so, that was my additional analysis other than the obvious, like you said, two bad teams, pick the home team. So. We agree on that one. Moving on to another. Well, I guess you can say it's interesting since Tennessee had a bye last week. We're kind of still trying to figure out who they are. Buffalo, on the other hand, is struggling. They don't look like the team I thought they were going to be. And they play at Tennessee. They are favored by 2.5, but they are missing quite a few of their key players. I think. I can never remember this receiver's name. What's their number one receiver's name?
Sammy Watkins?
Yes, Sammy Watkins. For whatever reason, I can never remember his name. Anyhow, he, I don't think, is looking good for the game. It is early, of course, but I think they are missing a few of their players, running backs. McCoy, I think, might be out or questionable. And so they're, undermanned, understaffed a little bit. Who did you pick in this game?
I went with Tennessee at home, taking the dog in this one. They have shown a lot of fight in every single game. They've been really, really competitive. What we haven't seen from Tennessee is a complete game, but I think that Mariota is starting to get really comfortable in that system. They finally found a running back they seem to like. They've just – Kendall Wright and Delanie Walker are legit targets. So I just think that – they can score enough points to beat a Buffalo team that's on the road, that's coming off a terrible offensive performance against a not great Giants team. They're not going to have LeSean McCoy, it doesn't sound like. And Carlos Williams, who's been a very admirable fill-in for him, sounds like he may not play either. So now you're talking about Booby Dixon, and I think they're looking for a guy to back him up and take some of those snaps. So that's going to, make a defense or an offense that fairly one-dimensional. And then, like you say, if Sammy Watkins is out, that can really squeeze things. So I do like Charles Clay, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Tyrod Taylor this year. But I just don't see him winning this one. It's kind of surprising to me that Vegas has Buffalo favored. It'll be interesting to see if that line shifts, if McCoy and Carlos Williams are officially ruled out.
Yeah, I like your boldness on this one, I do, but I still don't have a ton of faith in Tennessee, and I have faith in Buffalo's defense still.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've been really Jekyll and Hyde, though, so I think this was a little bit tougher decision. But I really still just don't have a ton of faith in Tennessee. And I think you put Mariota, who is still a rookie, still learning the ropes, against that really good defense, and they could cause him some problems. I think Rex is going to kind of cook up some stuff for him, pressure him a lot, hopefully try and get him to turn the ball over a little bit. Obviously, that's kind of not his game. You know, that's not what he's done in college, but he's had some issues with it so far. So that was kind of my thinking. But yeah, I mean, Buffalo is just a weird team right now. I really don't know what to think of them. Obviously, they kicked the Dolphins' ass in their place, so that was kind of on my mind as well. And well, I actually think
Dolphins don't look like they can beat anybody right now.
That is true. That's definitely true. But I also think the Giants are better than maybe you're giving them credit for. I'm a little bit more bullish on the Giants than I think most people potentially. You know, they're two fourth quarter meltdowns away from being 4-0. Of course, you have to play, you know, full whatever 60 minutes, but I think they're maybe potentially a dark horse team to kind of start surging forward here, because they have some really easy games coming up. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Talking about Buffalo, I picked them. Yeah, I think that's going to be a good one to watch, though, because again, you know, we don't tend to pick differently in a lot of these games, so those will be the ones to watch.
They're predicting, this is the second lowest predicted score from Vegas, 42.5 over under. The only one that's less is the Tampa Jacksonville game at 42. So I think you're right. I think the anticipation is both offenses are going to struggle.
Yeah. All right, moving down the line, we got the Browns at Ravens, an AFC North grudge match. The Ravens are favored in this one. I kind of find that a little bit surprising. Not terribly, of course, but mostly because they're at home. But who did you pick in this one, and what was your thinking on that?
I got Baltimore. You and I watched the Thursday night game together last week, and I started to see something from Baltimore's offense that I hadn't seen all year that I really liked. And you may remember what I'm talking about, but there's a single back play they run for Justin Forsett, and there's a kick out block that happens, and the trust is just that Forsett goes. It's kind of like that, I think they call it 42 power that they run in Minnesota for Adrian Peterson, where the quarterback, everything is run except for the quarterback comes out of the snap like he's dropping back to pass, and then lay hand. It was just a simple draw, but it's a power blocking draw, and it creates a lot of space on the second level, and Justin Forsett is a guy who needs some space to operate. And they ran it a couple of times for big gains. He ended up with 150 yards after not doing much all year. And it was different, and it was nice to see Mark Trestman willing to make that adjustment to an offense where he typically doesn't run that way. And so I think they'll probably learn from it. I think that they showed a lot of resolve, for whatever that means, to come back on a short week on the road against a division rival last week. I think Flacco's better than he's been this year. So I do have the Ravens this one. I just think the Browns have some pieces, but I don't think they're very good yet. And, the Browns in my mind are a 1-3 team. The Ravens aren't.
Yeah, I also went with Baltimore. I agree with you. I think they're better than their record. They're better than they've shown, and I think they're going to continue to get better. That was a big win for them last week. Obviously, they kind of got handed it in a few ways, but But I mean, again, that was a big fierce battle. The division rivalry, big win for them, emotional uplift. They're still in it technically. So that was my thinking. They're the home team. I don't have a lot of faith in the Browns. I like their defense, but I don't like it that much. And frankly, just don't really like their offense. So, I assume, I haven't heard any different. They're still going to go with McCown there, aren't they? No Johnny Football on the horizon. Yeah. So I don't know. They don't do anything for me at this point. And I think that's probably common, but yeah. So the Ravens at home, I took those guys. So moving on down the line, we got Washington at Atlanta. I think this should be a pretty good game. Dan Quinn has obviously gotten his team off to a really strong start. The 4-0, scoring a shitload of points, moving the ball really well. They ran the ball really well last week against Dallas. you know, obviously Devonta Freeman looks like a stud in that run offense. And then on the same time, I think Washington's kind of done a little bit better than I think a lot of people thought they would. Their defense is a little bit better up front. They're pretty stout. You know, Kirk Cousins isn't anything special, but they're finding ways to kind of get themselves into games. So what do you think about this game?
I think it's the Falcons, and I don't suspect it'll be particularly close. I don't know how they're going to cover Julio. No one has an answer for Devontae yet. Matt Ryan is sensational at home. He's like a step below Rodgers when it comes to playing in his home stadium. So the Redskins have a couple of close wins, but I don't know, man. They're still a pretty uninspiring team. I don't think I'd even take them at home in this one. So I got the Falcons. I imagine it'll be by a decent margin.
Yep, I picked the Falcons as well. I would agree with you that the Redskins are kind of in the same vein as the Browns to me. Like, you know, maybe a little bit better than people kind of give them credit for, but not anything that, like, they're not inspiring to me in any way, shape, or form. So, yeah, I went with the Falcons on this as well. Like you said, they're at home. That's their comfort zone. And the Julio connection is going to get back going. Obviously, he only had 4 catches last week, but I think he's due to have to go off again. I was looking at his numbers actually earlier today, and I think he's just off the all-time record pace for yards, and he would like annihilate the catches pace right now. Or maybe I have that backwards. Do you know off the top of your head? I can't remember. Anyway, he's
talking Julio's numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know off of the top of my head, but off of a game where he didn't play in the second half and only had like 38 yards, and he's still pacing the records.
Yeah. Let me check real quick, cause I had this written down. But like he's challenging, I want to say Marvin Harrison had, hold on, I found it. Marvin Harrison had 143 catches in 2002, and that was the all-time record for receptions in a year. He's on pace for 152 catches. And so he's going to, I mean, if he keeps going at that pace, and actually Antonio Brown's on that pace as well. And then
if only someone owned both of them on a fantasy team.
Yeah. And then Jones is also on pace for 1,900 yards rush receiving, which is, or 1,912, which is, you know, about 50 less than the all-time record. So he is, that gives you some context of his season so far. He is freaking dominating.
This is like 2008 Randy Moss type football he's playing.
Exactly. So keep an eye on him. Moving down the line, we got, I don't know if this is interesting or not, the Bears at Chiefs. Obviously, the Bears are a better team with Jay Cutler, but they're still not that good. And the Chiefs, I don't know, man. I thought they were going to be really good this year, really stout. And their defense isn't even looking that great. What do you think about this game?
Yeah. I mean, I'm taking the Chiefs at home for sure in this one. I think the Bears are one of the 3 or 4 worst teams in the NFL. Even with Cutler, good Cutler can still drag that team to a win over a middling team. But I think Kansas City's better than their record. You know, they've got 3 losses, but you can make a case that they're to the 3 teams playing the best this year. Certainly at it. They've lost to the Broncos, the Packers, and the Bengals. You know, those are teams with a combined. So I'm not like burying the Chiefs yet. That's a brutal start. They kind of deserve this game after the start that they've had. So I think that you'll see them look a lot better, and there'll be a lot of talk about how they fix things and players are buying back in Andy Reid and all that stuff. But in reality, you're going from playing 3 top tier teams in a row to playing the Bears. I think they win by a good margin.
Yeah. And they're favored by 9.5 right now. That's the biggest spread on the schedule this week. And yeah, I mean, I picked the Chiefs as well. I still, you know, it's good to get that perspective, that context on their 3 losses. You know, cause that's definitely something to keep in mind. I think right now I'm kind of still just thinking of how they played last week and just was unimpressive, uninspiring. But then again, as you said, the Bengals are balling out right now. And, you know, there's still time for Kansas City to get it together. I think, yeah, the Bears, even with Cutler, are still not that good, and they're not good on the road. So went with KC on that one. That was kind of the no-brainer. Moving down the line, we got New Orleans at Philly. Two teams that, you know, are, again, not very inspiring, and they haven't looked great so far this year. It's in Philly. They're favored by 4.5. What do you think about this game?
It's one of those games where I think you've got two teams that are kind of dealing with a lot of the same issues. There's at least their offenses. There's this idea of what these two teams' offenses are because of the last few years and the production we've gotten used to. But they haven't come close, neither of them, this year. You know, it shows what an impact player I think that Jimmy Graham was in New Orleans, that, you know, guys like Colston and Cooks, who seemingly could get open at will last year, can't this year. And I think it's because they're each facing a level up in coverage, and defenses can shade towards one or the other simply because you don't have to worry about Jimmy Graham sucking the defense in. So, you know, they've got some issues they're figuring out. You know what's crazy that I saw today? Mark Ingram leads all running backs in catches this year.
Oh, interesting.
That is super interesting, especially since they brought in Spiller. We got Robinson, and the idea was that Ingram's a between the tackles banger, but they're not pulling him out for passing downs. I mean, he's their guy. He's got 22 catches this year.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what we thought that Spiller would be.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Spiller kind of like, you know, they've been slowly working his snap count up, and he didn't do much in regulation last week, but he ended the game with an 80-yard touchdown catch, and I think that's going to, you know, probably show that he's worth working into the offense a little bit more, and I think that'll help everything. The Eagles, of course, on the other side, haven't been able to get the running game going. You know, Bradford has looked lost. So it's really hard to pick between bad teams, especially bad teams that have a lot of individual talent. So this is one of those matchups where I probably would have just taken the home team, and in this case it's Philadelphia. But it's not that I feel strongly that Philadelphia is better than New Orleans.
Yeah, so you ended up – you did take Philly?
Yeah.
Yeah, and my thought process was pretty much the same. I went with Philly as well. I think – I keep waiting for them to kind of click, and I feel like they're going to. And this is one of those games where they really could, you know, because they're kind of starting to get to that point where it's make or break and you know, I don't know. I for whatever reason, I just still feel like they're going to click at one point and really start playing like they, you know, potentially should and could. So that was my thinking on this. I don't have a ton of faith in New Orleans. Obviously, they beat, you know, pretty depleted Dallas team last week. Who did they play?
New Orleans?
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat Dallas.
I said earlier Dallas against the Falcons. Who did the Falcons beat last week?
Falcons beat the Texans.
Texans, that's what I meant to say. Okay, so... whatever, they're both Texas teams. yeah, these weeks tend to bleed into each other, so apologies for that. But yeah, the Saints aren't particularly inspiring to me either. I just, you know, a lot of my picks are, you know, you have more of your formula. I have more of like a gut feel to it. And for me, I just
shoot from the hip, man.
I just don't trust New Orleans. That was kind of my thinking. Plus, you know, New Orleans has had some issues with their secondary. I think Browner's been getting roasted.
Take online grades for what they're worth. But I think it was PFF, Pro Football Focus, who has Maxwell and Browner as the two lowest rated corners in the NFL so far this year, which is crazy to think about what their status was in Seattle.
Yep. I mean, that tells you a lot about like how the scheme dictates kind of how guys can produce and play and cover and everything. So that's an interesting point. I definitely saw Maxwell's giving up the worst opposing quarterback rating of any player or any corner in the NFL right now. I thought Maxwell was a good player. Like I think he is a good player.
I think that system over there is really, it puts so much on your number one corner. If you're, they get no help. There's no secondary help in that system. And you can see it. It's kind of this interesting experiment to see Kerry Williams and Byron Maxwell essentially, I mean, not essentially, they switched roles on mm-hmm. each other's teams. And Kerry Williams, who was so terrible in Philadelphia, is balling out in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Byron Maxwell, who earned top cornerback money or damn close to it, is statistically one of the worst so far. You know, it's just funny how scheme dependent success in the NFL is for 95% of the players in the league.
Yeah. And I think that's like, I mean, that's why a lot of people preach the dangers of free agency and why, you know, a lot of like the Seahawks, one of their main things is, you know, like build from within, build organically through the draft, and then, you know, makes a match here and there with free agents. But we saw what happened with Percy Harvin. You know, he wasn't a free agent, but same concept applies.
Yeah, non-homegrown player.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, I mean, I wasn't confident picking Philly in this one, but they're at home. Their backs are against the wall, and I think they're going to start finally figuring out what's going on, but I don't know if it's going to be this week or not, so we'll see. That's going to be a fun one to watch. Moving down the line, I think actually this is going to be another fun game. The Rams at Packers. That is an early game on Sunday. And obviously the Rams just came off their, you know, or they're coming off their upset win over the Cardinals. They kind of did what I thought they might do. I talked about this a little bit last week and keeping everything in front of them, doing their cushion of death thing. You know, obviously they got Todd Gurley going. They got Tavon Austin going. They're the St. Louis team that we kind of are afraid was going to show up at some point, but they kind of always peek their head out and then go back, you know, to being the Rams. But, I guess Vegas isn't terribly impressed because, the Green Bay is favored by 9 at home. Do you think there's any chance the Rams could pull this one off?
Nah.
All right, moving on.
Well, I mean, honestly, how many teams would you pick to win in Green Bay right now in the NFL?
You know, probably, I think if the Seahawks went back there, they'd give them a shot. I think that the Patriots could potentially do it.
Right, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're searching for one or two teams that we would maybe consider picking. Yeah. St. Louis isn't anywhere close to that tier. So, I'm not getting cute. Yeah, the Rams' best game could beat an off game for the Packers, but
right.
Aaron Rodgers has 11 touchdowns and no interceptions this year. He is handing the ball off to his receivers 15 yards downfield. We're seeing the best quarterback in the world play his best football. And as you and I have talked about on numerous occasions, you know, he is best at neutralizing what the Rams do best, which is provide pressure on the quarterback. His ability to make every throw on the tree from any spot in the pocket is unparalleled right now in the NFL. And so I think this is the one team that can handle the Rams pass rush better than anybody else right now.
I like that analysis. And I agree. And I also think that I think the Packers defense is better than I thought and better than maybe people give them credit for, because I was looking at the DVOA rankings this week, and they're up there in terms of defense. They're doing really well. Their run defense is really bad overall, but they've picked it up over the last couple of weeks. We saw them kind of do pretty well against the Seahawks. But, I mean, their pass defense has been really good. So, I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting game. Because I think the Rams are they're good at playing spoiler to teams like this, but at the end of the day, like you said, I'm not getting cute. I picked the Packers at home. I think that they'll end up winning. I don't know, you know, that might be one of those games where you could bet that St. Louis would cover. But yeah, again, not getting cute on that one. Moving on to the Seahawks game, playing in Cincinnati, the Bengals are one of the hottest teams, I think, right in the NFL right now. You know, maybe they're another one of those teams you could throw in that could potentially go into Green Bay and beat the Packers. But they're obviously playing at home this week in an early game, 10 a.m. game on the East Coast. It's going to be a tough one for Seattle. Did you pick the Seahawks?
I did not. you know, I think that I wouldn't be surprised if this game happened in week 12 or week 13. if I wouldn't feel differently about it. But right now, we're seeing a team that is playing very well in all aspects, hosting a team coming off a short week that is playing well in half of the aspects. Seattle is one of the few teams that could probably boast a roster as or more talented than the Bengals. But to beat a Bengals team at home, bad Andy Dalton has to show up, and he's been nowhere to be found this year. Andy Dalton is playing out of his mind. You know, he looks so confident in the offense. You know, Bernard and Hill are playing really well. Hill isn't having the type of world-beating year that some folks were anticipating after his rookie season, but he's been an effective short yardage runner. Bernard, he never went anywhere. He's still Gio Bernard. AJ Green's incredible. Tyler Eifert has emerged. So that offense is really, really clicking, and Dalton seems so in control of it. That said, I think he is going against the best defense in the NFL. And for all of the history of Seattle and the rest of West Coast teams playing so poorly in 10 a.m. starts on road games, that hasn't really been the case in Seattle for the last 3 years. So normally that would be an issue. I think having Marshawn back will help. But until that offensive line gets figured out, they're going to have a hard time scoring against the Cincinnati team. I really do believe that.
Yeah.
And if the Seahawks haven't gotten an interception this year, I think they've only forced one turnover, maybe two. And it's wild, you know, since Cam Chancellor's got back, they've had 21 defensive drives, 19 of them have ended in a punt, one in a field goal and one in a fumble. That is crazy, you know. But they're going to have to do better than just bending and not breaking to beat Cincinnati. They're going to have to break Cincinnati back. They got to get a couple of turnovers. They got to get sacks. They got to disrupt that offense. And I'm just not seeing enough out of Seattle to think that they would do it. If I was betting this objectively, I would take the Bengals.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I do not feel confident in my pick. I don't feel like I would put very much money on it, but I also picked the Bengals. Again, it's the same things we've talked about. I think for me, it really does come down to the offensive line and not really knowing what's going on with Marshawn Lynch. I don't know if he's going to be 100%. I don't know if he will even play for sure. So I think those are the two main reasons I think that I went with the Bengals. I think it's just tough ask for the Seahawks over there. You know, like you said, that they have such great weapons. Everywhere you look, they have weapons. It's like Sanu, Marvin Jones, AJ Green. Their tight end that you mentioned, Tyler Eifert, is really good. They have two really good running backs. They've got weapons on defense. You know, they have pass rush. They're good in the secondary. They have good linebackers. It's just like the Seahawks are going to have to really figure something out with the offensive line to get this win, I think. And, you know, maybe they will. Maybe that they'll, you know, because right now we talked about the consistency has been really terrible with the offensive line. The pass protection was pretty good against Green Bay, but then it sucked last week, you know. Which one is going to show up? And obviously, they didn't play very well against the Bears either at home. So, I mean, if a consistent, good pass-protecting offensive line shows up this week, then I think that Russell Wilson will ball out and there's a chance the Seahawks could win. But after watching kind of the All-22 of this last week, it's just like kind of demoralizing watching. You know, I don't know if they're necessarily ready right now to beat a really good team in Cincinnati at 10 a.m. on the East Coast. So, you know, later in the year, like you said, I think I think the Seahawks are going to continue to get better and get to that position where I trust them a little bit more to win a really tough road game, you know, against a good team. But right now I'm just not feeling it. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully I'm wrong. I don't feel super confident, and Cincinnati's only favored by 3 right now at home. So obviously, you know, Vegas tends to give home teams 3 points just being at home. So they obviously see this as a good matchup as well. Moving on down the line, getting near the bottom here, Arizona at Detroit. Obviously, we saw Detroit last week. They're still kind of out of sorts. Don't really know what's going on with that offense. The defense isn't anything to write home about. And then, of course, Arizona, they got kind of clipped, obviously, last week. You know, they were flying really high. I thought they were one of the best teams in the NFL. I don't know for sure if this means that they're not or if they just kind of had an off night. What do you think about this game?
I think that Arizona is still a really good team. They lost that game to the Rams the way a good team would lose the game to the Rams. You know, they sort of had – they put themselves in a short stack situation by fumbling the opening kickoff and giving up the early touchdown. And from then on, it was a pretty even game. And, you know, Arizona actually outscored them by 5 from that point on. So I don't think that that game exposed them in any way. Mm-hmm. Carson Palmer missed a couple of clutch passes that he doesn't normally miss. Sometimes that just happens. I didn't see any big flaws or chinks in the armor that the Rams exposed. The Rams made a play or two more than Arizona did. So I haven't really lost my view of them as a very good team. I'm not sure that they're an elite team, whatever that means, but they're I think they're right in that conversation in terms of how they played this year. They still have the best point differential in the NFL. The Lions, I mean, this is a brutal back-to-back for them, yeah. Especially with the way that game ended on Monday. So, but they've got a short week, which I think sort of neutralizes a little bit of the home field advantage. They are traveling. It's not even like they're going home to home. They are still using, you know, a significant amount of travel time coming back. And that stuff wears on you, I imagine, when you're the only 0-4 team in the NFL, which is crazy to think about. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Lions won this game just because – I think they are a fairly talented team, and they are the home team, but I did pick Arizona.
Well said. I also picked Arizona, you know, basically all the same reasons that you did. Detroit, I don't know, they have a lot of talent, but they're another one of those teams that I just don't have a ton of faith in. You know, obviously they almost beat Seahawks last week, but the Seahawks really tried to kind of give that game away, I felt like.
Oh, yeah. The game was not as close as the final score. I mean
when you turn the ball over twice in the fourth quarter, really unforced errors, really.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, yeah, the Lions, I mean, they like I said, they have a ton of talent, but I just don't – they don't inspire me. I think Arizona will kind of run away with this one at Detroit. So, that's a good one to watch. Hopefully, Detroit can pull it off, of course, because that would be good for the Seahawks and the NFC West. But I just don't see that happening. Moving on, this game is probably due to be a blowout. The Patriots travel to Dallas, play a Brandon Whedon-led Cowboys team. They are favored by 9 on the road, and the over-under is 49.5. Apparently, Vegas thinks they're going to beat the shit out of the Cowboys, I imagine. So what do you think about this?
Same. You know, Belichick is coming off of a bye week with Brady. And I think that it's just – they've got basically a full season of sample size for the Patriots coming off a bye week under Belichick. They're 11-4. Outrageous, but that is very, very good. And Dallas just is trying to figure out who they are or – even more so, what can they be? I mean, you talk about who their 5 biggest weapons on offense are going into the season. You're talking Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, you know, Randall, and then, you know, Witten, and then either Dunbar or McFadden. And this year it's definitely been Dunbar who, you know, hurt himself last week in Sunday night game. Romo's hurt. Yeah. Bryant's hurt. So now you're talking about 3 of your top 4 or 5 playmakers being out. I could see a full-strength Cowboys team definitely winning this at home against the Patriots. But, you know, trying to beat them with the JV offense, I just – no matter how good that line is, I just don't see it. That defense is okay. But, I mean, the Patriots could drop 40 on them in their own house on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that. I think you summed it up. I picked New England as well. Moving on down the line, Denver at Oakland. Right now, Denver is favored by 5, even on the road. Obviously, their defense is kind of giving people fits. That's probably the best defense in the NFL right now, the way they're playing. You know, you have Derek Carr, who has shown a lot of promise and made some really pretty incredible plays, but at the same time, he's still a second-year guy. He has his, you know, peaks and valleys. I picked the Broncos in this one just because of the defense. I think that they're playing so well. But again, we've talked about this in the past. I think Oakland, for some reason, gives people problems at their home. And this is a divisional game, so you kind of never know what to expect in those. But I ended up going with Denver with the caveat that I think it could be a pretty good one to watch, pretty fun one. And Oakland could give them a run for their money. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Denver should win this one for many of the same reasons. I think they are the best defense in the NFL right now. There's talent everywhere. There's no spot outside of maybe an offensive line where they are not exceptionally talented. And that's really a crazy thing to think about. You can go position group by position group, and they are loaded. And it's coming at the perfect time because as we start to see, you know, a decrease in Peyton Manning's raw skills, you know, obviously the mind is still there and the anticipation and the veteran savvy and all of that. But as we finally start to see that deterioration in his skills, he finally has a defense that can go out and win games for him. And we've seen them do that at least twice this year. And so that defense playing out of their minds. Oakland is a team that can get a lot of yards. They got a lot of game-breaking type players. I really like Derek Carr. I like his future in the NFL. But this is going to be a really, really tough task. And I do think the Raiders will get some points in this one. I don't think that, you know, they're just going to get totally dominated. But a five-point spread sounds about right. I do have Denver in this one. I think that right now they're probably the most talented top-to-bottom roster in the NFL.
Nice, nice, nice. All right, let's move on to the 49ers at Giants in the Meadowlands. Obviously, the Niners have struggled. Colin Kaepernick's kind of like meltdown or whatever. And, you know, the Niners defense really isn't as good as I even thought it might be. So right now they're in a bit of a death spiral. But you never really know what you can get. And the Giants, again, are kind of inconsistent. I don't think their home field advantage is anything special. What did you pick in this one right now? The Giants are favored by 7 in at home. But this could be one to watch. What do you think?
I've got the Giants. You know, it's really hard to watch what's happening with San Francisco. You want to, you know, crush your rivals and, you know, see their women driven before you and hear the lamentations of the people and all the other Conan the Barbarian stuff. But in all honesty, like, it kind of sucks not having them good. And you know, the Seahawks defense versus the 49ers defense were probably the two best defenses in the NFL for a few years. And the Kaepernick-Wilson thing and just the two cities, you know, being at the top of the conference there for a little bit, it was a really great, really marketable rivalry. And everything has just gone to hell for them. Kaepernick looks like the worst quarterback in the NFL right now. I mean, it's not just a regression. He looks completely hopeless. And it's not a matter of him not having guys to throw to. I mean, that definitely affects it. But he is just missing. And he's broadcasting his throws half a second before he throws them. The defense actually played Green Bay pretty well, kept everything in front of them. But it's just a really bad team with no direction and no identity. And they're on the road. I think the Giants probably are better than my perception of them. I think you're right in what you said with that earlier. I see them as sort of on the bottom half of the middle tier, and that'll be good enough to beat the 49ers.
Yep, I have the Giants as well. I think they're just too good on offense. I think that the Niners are, like you said, they're just not good anywhere really right now. Again, they're kind of one of those teams I just don't have a ton of faith in to kind of get it done on the road here. So I went with the Giants for those reasons. And that's a Sunday night game, so that'll be a fun one to watch. And then moving on to the Monday night game, we got Pittsburgh at San Diego, which is kind of an interesting matchup. Obviously, the Steelers are without Ben Roethlisberger. You know, we saw what Michael Vick did last week. It wasn't, like, terrible, but at the same time, it was – a little bit different. They weren't attacking downfield quite as much. I think they only took a few deep shots. Antonio Brown missed out on his chance to continue his 5 catches for 50 yards streak, which was ridiculous. I think he came up
8 yards short. He had 5 for 42.
Yeah. So that was a bummer.
Really close on a few catches.
Yeah. So that was a bummer. Obviously, Vic missed whoever it was on like a little quick out.
And yeah, it was Brown. Brown yeah. had like a big window for a short throw.
Yeah, and he missed him. He threw it high. It was pretty much uncatchable, and that was the difference in the game. So I don't know. I picked the Chargers in this one. I wasn't real confident in that, but I do still have faith in El Bolo, Philip Rivers. I think he's a good quarterback. I think last week he played pretty well. And
I don't know, honest, Danny, you're going to pick the Chargers in every game until you die.
I haven't picked them every week, but pretty much almost every week. but yeah, they, man, I don't know why. I just kind of like the Chargers, but it's mostly the, there's two main variables in this, and this made it kind of easy for me. One, Chargers at home. Two, Steelers don't have Ben Roethlisberger. So that was why I went with the Chargers. Who'd you get?
It comes down to the fact that Roethlisberger's out for me. I do think I was super bullish on Pittsburgh this year, as an AFC finalist. But Ben Roethlisberger's yards per attempt this year was 10.5 before he got hurt.
Wow.
That is absurd, stratospheric production. They literally were taking 9 shots a game down the field, passes that went more than 20 yards in the air per game. That is a crazy amount. Mm-hmm. And what that does, when you show a willingness to do that, when you know whether you hit them or not, and they do hit them very well. Ben Roethlisberger is one of the best deep passers the game's ever known, and of course we know Antonio Brown, how good he is. You take that away, and it's very different offense. You mentioned that everything Michael Vick did was short. You said they didn't take very many shots down the field. They really only took one. And that changes a lot of things. That changes how you play the Steelers' defense. If you feel like you only have to guard 25 yards of the field, you don't have to guard 55 yards of the field, you can be a lot more aggressive on defense. I do think Le'Veon Bell is probably the best or – probably the scariest running back in the NFL, and he can cover a lot of sins. You saw the touchdown run he had last week on a broken play on the left sideline, and he scored on the right sideline. That's the kind of thing he can do, and he can do that for you once or twice a game. But if they can't take the top off of the defense a few times in a game, they're not the threat that they need to be. And I didn't see anything from Vic as that makes me think they can be that. Now, he'll have a week of practice with the ones that, you know, he was coming on a short week and a travel – or not a travel week, but a short week after right. Roethlisberger injury. He does get Martavis Bryant back. The defense has been okay. But I think the Chargers are a pretty good team. I think Antonio Gates is back this week. Keenan Allen's playing out of his mind. They've got a really nice running back combo. Phillip Rivers is playing really well. Defense has been pretty good. And all of that adds up, I think, to a team that's good enough to win at home against a Michael Vick-led Steelers team. I don't think it means the Chargers are great or even really good if they win, but I kind of see them as a 9-win team with the players they have now, whereas I see the Steelers as like a 6-win team with the players they have now.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. We picked differently on, let's see here, 1-2 games. Trying to see if we have any others. Yeah, you picked Houston, I picked Indy. Mm. You picked Tennessee, I picked Buffalo. So those are the two differences this week. I took
the AFC South will decide it for us.
Oh boy. I took the easy route this week and just picked all favorites. So make sure you make that comment in the comments thread. what do you got for against?
That's the right play. Like we've said before, you know, you can go a million other places for your long shot of the week.
But, yeah.
You know, we're going to tell you who we think is actually going to win. Sometimes it's the same as what the lines think in Vegas.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So did you have any against the spread advice for this week?
I got a few. We backtracked a little bit last week, went 1-2 against the spread. But I think that puts us at 7-5 on the year. But I've got Tennessee winning and covering the spread. I've got Houston covering the spread. Tennessee's a natural cover because they're an underdog. And other than that, you know, those two I feel pretty good about. Man, other than that,
New England game kind of looks interesting to me.
What's that?
The New England game looks interesting to me.
It does. The thing that keeps me from really picking against New England against the spread, even when they're favored by a lot, is that Bill Belichick is one or two or three coaches that's willing to put the heel to the teeth after the fight is over.
You made my point because I was going to say you picked the over.
Oh yeah, okay.
Sorry, not the over. I'm tempted,
and that's crazy. That was, that's kind of a crazy pick to just in general to take a road team to cover a 9-point spread.
Right.
But I also do have New Orleans covering a 4.5 at Philly. Even though I have the Eagles winning, I think it'll be by 3 or less. So those are my 3 picks for the week.
Nice. I like it. All right. So there you have it. Obviously, if you're listening, you are subscribed. You're not necessarily subscribed, but if you're subscribed to us, make sure you subscribe to the Real and the Field Goals podcast on iTunes again. Like we said last week, we changed the RSS feeds. We changed basically where we're saving our podcast. So now the Real and the Field Goals podcast is at a new RSS feed. So make sure you find that. And then also go and find 3000 NFL Mock Draft. That's Kenny Arthur and Rob Staton. They talk about college football, the NFL draft, kind of the state of affairs right now and all that. So that kind of helps you kind of get prepared for the off season, but also keeps you going along with the college football season. So make sure you follow those two podcasts. And then if you're listening to this on YouTube, make sure you subscribe on iTunes to all three of those. Jackson, do you have any other things to add before we let it go?
No, not. Well, actually, one more thing. I do want to give a shout out to Maury Povich, a.k.a. Buds Migglejib, for leading our group. He got off to a slow start, missed 3 of the first 4 picks last week, rebounded with a really strong finish, and he is leading the field goals deep balls group, which if you haven't joined your entry to the group, it is an open group. So if you've got a ESPN Pigskin Pick'em entry going, feel free to join our group and compete against us. But he is our leader at 44 points, and so he's 44-19 on the year, and that puts him in the top 0.4%. So I do want to give him a shout-out for how well he's been picking games this week. Maybe we should get him on the show.
Yeah, that'd be fun, actually. Further shout-outs, D. Bandroid, G-O-L, Andrew V210, Tommy Lee Jones, frown.jpg. That's a great name. Those guys are all tied for second place, and they all have 43 wins this week, or this year, I should say, which puts them in the 98.9 percentile of all picks nation worldwide, whatever you want to do. In other words, these guys are doing really well, guys or girls. Those are some really impressive scores. Jackson and I are going to try and catch up along the way. You guys are setting the pace for the Pick'em League so far, so congrats on that. We'll pick up again the same time next week. Hopefully I win our Thursday night football disagreement again this week. I know Jackson and I will probably meet up tomorrow and have a few beers and watch the game. Hopefully you do as well. And hopefully you enjoy the podcast, and we'll talk to you next week.
Later.